Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. When it comes to being a small business owner, it is necessary to have a plan for your business. In fact, you should have three different types of plans for your business. Of course, you need the one that every one of your investors wants to see, the business plan. That plan is required by all financial institutions if you're trying to get a business loan, and you need it whether you're a startup or an existing business. The second plan is for a business that needs a strategic plan. This is not to be confused with the business plan. This plan sets out the business's mid to long-term goals and the basic strategy for achieving them. And the last plan is a continuity or contingency plan. In other words, a plan for a future event or circumstance that is possible but cannot be predicted with certainty. This could be a large-scale disaster or something on a small scale, such as an employee theft. My guest today is John Santamaria. John has appeared previously on Score Business Points talking about financial best practices for a small business. He's a 20-year veteran of Wall Street. John received his BBA in accounting from St. Bonaventure University and his MBA in accounting and finance from Monmouth University. Today, John will discuss the benefits of planning for your business through the use of the three plans I mentioned. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Michael. I don't know about my dreams being a ticket out, but I am happy to be here again.
All right. That's something to do with Welcome Back, Cotter.
You're correct.
Right?
Correct.
All right. Let's get to the topic about planning your business. All right. Tell the listeners about planning for your business.
Well, Mike, as with anything you do, planning is a roadmap to achieving a goal or reaching an objective. People do it all the time in their lives. They plan out a route, plan their day. My mother even plans out her meals on major holidays. As I said, it can be a roadmap to achieve a goal. In business, it allows you to assess risks and opportunities, determine what you can take advantage of and what you need to avoid. Plans allow you to become proactive. How do I position my business to take advantage of those opportunities identified? How do I allocate my resources to achieve my goals? And ultimately, they help you grow your business, improve performance, reach new clients, and become more profitable. There are many quotes about planning, but a few that I feel stress the importance of planning. From Alan Lakin, a well-known author on time management, planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it now. And this is my personal favorite, failing to plan is planning to fail. Mm-hmm. And from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, and I apologize for my French accent there, but he's a French writer, a poet, and journalist. A goal without a plan is just a wish.
Okay, that's interesting stuff, John. Hopefully our listeners have an understanding of why planning is important. I think the next logical question is, why should they plan?
As I said, planning is a roadmap to success. It lets you think about the goals you're trying to achieve and how to get there. In addition to thinking about why they should plan, they should also think about when they should plan. And without trying to scare anyone, I think the answer is always. Every day you go into your business, you should know what you need to get done that day. What are the goals for the day? Basically, you know, a plan for the day. But for this purpose, I want the listeners to step back from their business. Now, I listened to a great podcast the other day by Dane DeSantis called 8 Drivers of Company Value. In it, he had a great quote, "Work on your business, not in it." The planning I'll speak about today takes that approach of working on your business. So, as you mentioned earlier, there are 3 specific time frames I want listeners to think about. At the start of their business, they need to have a business plan. At the beginning of each revenue cycle, I like to think annually, they need a strategic plan. And in the case of an emergency, both owners and employees need to know what to do. This is important to do prior to having an emergency. At that point, you want to initiate an action plan, not waste time figuring out what to do. This is called a contingency plan or a business continuity plan.
Yeah, going back just a little bit, your quote, "Work on your business, not in it." That's a great quote.
I liked it too.
Okay. So planning, as we're talking about today, is working on your business.
Yes, that is how I want the listeners to think about it. When you take a step back and work on your business by developing a plan, you then go to work in your business knowing you are doing the right things to get your business to where you want it to be.
All right, that's very good. All right, let's dive into it. Let's talk about these plans.
Absolutely. Let's talk about each one in turn, starting with the business plan.
Okay. All right. For those who don't understand, we've been talking about this since this show's been on the air. A business plan is the most important plan in a business. But tell the listeners here, what is a business plan and why is it important?
Absolutely. To quote the SCORE organization, a business plan is an opportunity to carefully think through every step of starting your company so you can prepare for success. This is your chance to discover any weaknesses in your business idea, identify opportunities you may not have considered, and plan how you will deal with challenges that are likely to arise. To put it simply, it's getting all your ducks in a row. It makes sure you have an understanding of what you are about to get involved in. Additionally, a well-written business plan can help convince investors or lenders to finance your business, which is really important. If you need to go to a lender for financing, they're going to want to see this plan and all the information contained in it. Ideally, after reading the first section of the business plan, the executive summary, readers should have a basic understanding of your business, should be excited about its potential, and should be interested enough to read further. If you are interested in seeing an example of a business plan, go to the SCORE website. You can download a free template. That website is score.org.
Yeah. I've got it. I understand the business plan. Let's talk to the listeners. So what information is contained in the business plan?
Well, there are typically 7 parts to a business plan, but this can vary a little from business to business. But I think if you have the following information, you should have a solid business plan. As I just mentioned, the first part is the executive summary. This will typically be an overview of the business, description of the product or service, goals, target markets, competition, management team, financial outlook. It basically touches upon each of the subsequent parts of the business plan, and believe it or not, it may be the only part of the plan that an investor or lender reads.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of your business plan is the business description. Here, you can talk about your company's reason for being, the mission statement, the philosophy, the vision, and the goals, and importantly, what you are going to sell or what service you are going to provide. These items should be clear to the reader after having gone through the business description.
All right. All right. So the business plan is giving the reader an inside view of the business and the reason why the buyer or the founder wants to get involved.
Correct. And as we move further into the plan, it will provide even more analysis around the business.
All right. That's great. Then so what's next?
All right. The third part is the competitive or market analysis. Here, you should be describing the competitive landscape. How many competitors do you have in your area? Do they offer more, less, or slightly varied products or services than you? Where are they located? What type of pricing do they have? Are they online as well? When are they open? After gathering this information about the competition that is pertinent to your business, put this information into a table format with your business in the first column. This is a great way to compare this information and make it easily digestible for a reader. Additionally, you should take a broader look. Is there any research available that talks about the industry you are getting into? Trends in your industry or target market, new regulations, what is the local economy doing? These things are all important to your business and should be included in your plan. In this section, you can go into more detail about your offering as well, pricing strategies, suppliers, and as I said, the target market. And remember, the important thing is to capture the information and convey that to the reader of the business plan. A potential investor or lender will really want to read all of it.
Okay. That's a lot. Well, that's a lot there. And it sounds like it's really getting complex.
Mike, it may seem intimidating, but it's easier than it sounds, especially when using a good template like the one from score.org. And it's really in your benefit to do this.
All right. That's a good point. All right. So where do we go from here?
The next section focuses on management and the organization. Things I would include here are biographies of the leadership team. Are there key hires you'll have to make? Maybe a CFO. An org chart can be helpful here as well. Another helpful area to cover is a list of advisors. This can include your attorney, accountant, board of directors if you have one, insurance agents, or bankers. Basically, anyone that is providing guidance to the business.
Oh, here's a question then. Do you recommend that a business owner could identify all of his advisors as part of a business plan?
Absolutely. It is always good to have an expert in your corner. There's plenty of information available online as an example, but I think at a minimum, you want to have someone you can run ideas by or ask for advice. Also, the more time you spend, say, preparing your taxes, the less time you're spending on your business. So having an expert to hand off specific items to can be beneficial to you and your business.
Okay, that makes sense. So, when do you get to talk about your product or your service?
Well, funny you should ask, because the answer is now.
Oh, okay.
The fifth section of your business plan can be the marketing and sales section. In this section, you should start to talk about how you are going to market your product. Marketing may include business websites, social media marketing, email marketing, mobile marketing, search engine optimization, or content marketing. You can also talk about advertising, which can include online, print, radio, even cable TV. And if needed, you can expand on your pricing strategy, go into more detail. How do you plan to set prices? But keep in mind that few small businesses can compete on price without hurting their profit margins.
We've talked about our business, a product, the organization, the competition, and the market. But that leaves me with a question, though. How do we pay for all of this?
Great question. The sixth section is where we talk about funding needs. Now, if you're lucky enough to have the money your business needs, then I expect this section will be fairly short.
That's a good point, but that's not the norm?
No, it is not. Most business owners are going to need some type of funding, typically a loan, to purchase or start a business. In the funding section, you will want to detail all the expenses involved in opening for business and how much capital you'll need. I expect much of this information will be gathered already, some of it even listed in other parts of the plan. Make sure you summarize it in this section and be sure to include any assumptions you have made in preparing these numbers. Remember to include a provision for contingencies. Something unexpected always comes up. And you may need to include personal information depending upon the type of financing you are seeking. An important thing to note, do not include ongoing expenses after your business opens. Those are listed in the financial projections, which is the next section.
Financial projections. The last section?
Yes. This is the final section in your business plan. Investors or lenders will want to understand what profit you are expecting to generate from the business. They're going to want to know that a loan can be paid back and that there is a return on their investment. In an earlier broadcast, we talked about financial statements, so I'll simply list what you should expect to include here. A one-year income statement, 3 years if you are comfortable projecting that far out, cash flow projections, balance sheets, again, 1 year at a minimum, but three if possible, and always include your assumptions.
All right, well, that's a lot of information out there.
Yes, it is, but as I said, don't be intimidated. Work through your business plan section by section. Get all the information together, and it will be a great way to get your business on the path to success. And remember, SCORE.org has templates for you to use, which will make getting started easier, and SCORE has mentors available to advise you through the process.
Oh, all right. Well, I hope all this is an understanding that SCORE has mentors for you. That's the end of the business plan. Do we move now to the strategic plan that we talked about?
Yes, that is the second plan we will talk about today.
Okay, so I said something about it being, when you're in business, it's like the midpoint to the long term. How should we think about a strategic plan?
I think that's right. Just like a business plan is used to start your business, a strategic plan is used to move your business from point A to point B. A good plan will document the goals your business is trying to achieve and document the steps necessary to achieve those goals. It will identify technology, staffing, funding goals, and the allocation of resources to achieve those goals. I like to see a strategic plan have at least a one-year forward look, but I think three is actually better. You know, it does depend upon the complexity of your business and the goals you are trying to achieve.
This is something for business owners, probably, especially if you're a new business owner and you're just starting a business. How do you get started with a strategic plan?
Sure. Some people like to start off a strategic plan with a vision statement and a mission statement. I am perfectly happy for those to be included. You can probably copy them from your original business plan, but I don't think they are critical. I like to kick off a strategic plan with a little historical perspective.
Historical perspective?
Yes. Now, the strategic plan is to move an existing business from point A to point B, so I'm assuming you have some historical information here. Mm-hmm. For example, a number is interesting, but without context, a scale of 1 to 10, for example, a number by itself doesn't mean much. So I like to see some historical information at the beginning of the strategic plan. And this shouldn't be random information. It should have some meaning in context of your goals. If you want to increase your market share, what has it been in the past? If you want to reduce expenses, what have they been? If you need more headcount, what is your historical headcount? Now, not every historical data point needs to be tied to a specific goal. Things like revenue, assets, liabilities, and other key performance indicators are interesting to see and always good to include.
Well, that seems to make great sense.
Glad you agree.
Yeah.
I would now move on to a SWOT analysis. So this is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. This can be internal or external focused. Am I missing a key hire or a piece of technology? Or has a competitor just closed or opened? Is there a new regulation that will impact my business? This analysis leads to the development of your long and short-term goals. Is my business going to leverage a strength, address a weakness, take advantage of an opportunity, or negate a threat? This is really the exciting part of your strategic plan.
So this is where you, say, get into the meat of the plan?
Yes, it is. Prior to this point, you have a vision statement, mission statement, and some historical perspective. These are all things you have seen and should be familiar with, things from the past. Once you move on to the SWOT analysis, you start to see action items develop and are now forward thinking. This is where you start to set your goals. And depending on how far out you are looking, you may have a three-year goal, and then below that, annual goals or milestones to achieve.
Okay, I got that. So what do we do with these goals?
Well, goals help us allocate resources. Every business has a finite set of resources, whether it's cash, time of the employees, or even storage space at a warehouse. These goals will dictate how we allocate those resources. In effect, what we are really doing is developing an action plan. Are we implementing a new technology to enhance the customer experience, launching an advertising campaign, building a new facility? We have a set of goals, and we now need to allocate our resources to achieve those goals. We need an action plan. Mm-hmm. And these need to be fairly detailed, have measurable milestones, target dates, you know, the whole nine yards. And most importantly, they need to have an owner. Nothing will get done if no one thinks they are responsible for doing it.
All right, so it's the owner to execute the action.
Correct. You know, this owner may have a team to manage or may get other teams or individuals involved, but most importantly, the owner needs to be senior enough in the organization and empowered to drive the action plan forward.
Okay, that sounds like it's the end, but you got any other thoughts on strategic plans?
Yes, I have a couple. An effective way I found to motivate the organization is to share the strategic plan. You want the whole organization, whether that's 3 or 300 people, to know what direction the business is moving. What goals is the organization trying to achieve? You know, a couple of reasons for this are it makes the employees feel like they are part of the team, helping to drive the business forward. It gives them a sense of ownership. Uh-huh. And you never know where the next great idea is coming from. Someone in your organization may have an idea or expertise that you were not aware of and be able to help execute on the action plans. So if you need to, have an abridged version of the strategic plan. You may not want to share sensitive personnel information, as an example, with everyone, but your team or organization absolutely has to know the goals. That is exactly what I did when I was responsible for doing a 3-year strategic plan. Mm-hmm. I shared an abridged version with key business partners within the organization. Oh, and one last thing.
Yeah.
Review.
Uh-huh.
At some point, say 6 months into year one of your strategic plan, get the key participants back together and take a look at where you are. Have you met key milestones so far? Are your assumptions still valid? Do the goals still make sense? Have the key hires been made? You have to stop and take stock of where you are on your journey, making sure the team and the organization did not get lost.
Now, that's excellent stuff. Listen, we spoke about the business plan to get your business going. We've spoken about now the strategic plan to move your business, your existing business, from point A to point B. So now we have the contingency plan or the business continuity plan. So tell our listeners about that.
Yes, the third plan we're going to speak about today. In today's world, emergencies happen. This plan is one you put in place and hope you never have to use. Every business should know what has to happen in the case of an emergency.
Okay, well, so it's just like you see on TV and all of other places, a family practicing to get out of a house in case of a fire. This plan helps the business deal with unforeseen circumstances. All right? So how are you defining an emergency?
Correct, an excellent question. Not all emergencies are created equal. Some can be considered an inconvenience, while others can shut down a business for months. Let's put emergencies into three categories. So category one we'll call minor. These may include things like small contained fires, minor flooding, a short-term power outage, or even a sidewalk repair, temporarily restricting access to your front door. Category two we'll call major. These affect the primary physical environment in such a way that the business can no longer operate. These may include things like a larger fire, a chemical spill, and other issues that make the building completely inaccessible. Using accessibility as an example, in the minor category, take the sidewalk repair. You may need to redirect your customers to the back door versus a major category. You may have to close for a week. Uh-huh. Category three, we're going to call catastrophic. These are highly rare scenarios, typically involving regional disasters such as floods, hurricanes, or even unfortunately a terrorist event. In these instances, it is likely that one or more of your locations are going to be closed for an extended period of time, months.
Listen, businesses have already gone through this with Sandy just a few years ago and with Ida just a few months ago.
Yes.
And so a lot can go wrong. So how do you plan for this?
Well, I would say the first step is identifying two things: critical processes and critical personnel. If an emergency occurs, what has to happen to ensure the business can either continue to operate or survive, and who needs to ensure that those things happen? So to help people think about processes, they should be geared toward one, letting the business continue to operate, potentially in a limited way for some period of time, or two, ensuring that valuable elements of the business are not lost, which would prevent the business from reopening. I want to remind the listeners, this emergency could be severe enough that you may not be able to operate your business, but you do want to ensure that you can reopen as soon as possible. Once you have identified these key processes, you have to know who's going to execute on them. If there is an emergency, you are probably going to need some employees to address the situation as quickly as possible to minimize the loss or damage to your business. You probably don't want all of your employees to show up at a compromised location, but you need to have identified the key personnel for an emergency situation. This all blends into roles and responsibilities. At this point, we're defining who needs to do what, the processes we just mentioned, to ensure they are acted upon. And a particular role I would like to point out is a disaster coordinator. Someone needs to be appointed to take charge in the event of an emergency.
All right. Well, this sounds like an awful lot for a small business.
Well, I guess the level of complexity rises with the size of the business. And remember, a small business, per the SBA, can have up to 1,500 employees. So at the lower end of that number, it is probably easier to plan. As you grow in size and revenue and complexity, it may be more challenging to devise your business continuity plan, but it becomes even more important as more people are depending on your business for services and the employees are depending on your business for their livelihood. You know, another point, a contingency plan is something you do, and then you ensure you review it at least annually. You want to make sure all the procedures, personnel, and processes are up to date. And in doing this plan, it allows you to have many items in place ahead of the emergency, which is exactly the point of the plan. Uh-huh. Do you have an alternate location to go to? Are all your files backed up each night and then stored somewhere away from the primary business location? The plan should let you put lots of things in place prior to an actual emergency arising to minimize the impact on your business.
That sounds like all good points. So we're just touching on roles and responsibilities.
Yes. We had identified critical processes and personnel and noted we are defining roles and responsibilities in the case of an emergency. Basically, who needs to do what. Now, to reach your personnel, you need to have contact information. This is a key component of any contingency plan. You certainly need to be able to reach your critical employees, but you may also want to check on the safety of all employees.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the size of the business, you may even need something like a calling tree. Senior leaders have a call, determine which level of contingency plan to enact, and then they call their managers, who can then call their staff. This is a quick and easy way to ensure that your critical employees are available, executing on the contingency plan, and even more importantly, that all employees are safe.
All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes. And with cell phones, it should be fairly easy for employees in an organization to check in. And the last point I want to add is that every organization should have recovery procedures and checklists. After you have identified the critical processes, put together a step-by-step procedure or checklist so an individual can go through and ensure that whatever needs to be done is done and that nothing is missed.
Oh, all right. I hope our listeners understood the business continuity plan or your contingency.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. But in case they didn't, I'll reiterate a few things about the contingency plan. There are different levels of emergencies. Know which one is affecting your business. Ensure critical personnel know their roles and responsibilities. Make sure you can get in touch with your employees. And make sure they have access to the recovery procedures and checklists.
Well, John, you've touched on an awful lot of topics today. I hope our listeners understood everything and enjoyed what our discussion was.
I hope they did as well, and I look forward to coming back for another discussion.
Of course. You're always welcome back, John.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listeners, John has given you a lot of information to digest. While all plans are necessary for the continued success and longevity of the business, they all do not have to be in place immediately. But every business needs these plans. It's just a matter of when is the time I should put the plan in place. There is never a best time or an ideal time for a plan to be put in place. It's when you feel you need to shape, guide, and have some control over how your work is going to change and grow in the future. From different leaders and different organizations, it comes at different moments. But remember, you do need these plans. We all know the benefits of a business plan. When it comes to a strategic plan, we need it so that we know the time is right when we can take advantage because we have planned for it. When it comes to the continuity or contingency plan, that plan, too, is necessary. If you have been a loyal listener to this show, you have heard why this plan is necessary. Unplanned-for contingencies have proven disastrous to many small businesses. History has shown that because contingencies were not planned for, within 6 months, businesses that were affected were no longer in business. Don't be another statistic. If you'd like more information about this show, or for that matter, any SCORE Business Points show, you may email us at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a business topic you'd like to hear discussed on SCORE Business Points, or you have a comment about this show, you may contact us at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time we have for today. I would again like to thank my guest, John Santamaria, for taking the time to be with us today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit OceanCounty.score.org. OceanCounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.